The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiving them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the nail marks and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. I have to say at the Spanish Mass at 1 o'clock, every time I said peace be with you, they said, "Y con tu espíritu." They all responded. And I said, "Well, the English Mass, everybody's like good Catholics being quiet. Let's all be quiet. Let's don't give an amen. Let's don't disrupt anybody." You know, we're all like, "Let's be pious." I remember one lady was walking out of Mass not too long ago. She's like, "Father, I grew up Baptist, and I just want to holler out, amen." I said, "Bring it, sister. Bring it." You know, yes, we're in the presence of our Lord, but man, just sometimes we just got to just say amen, right? Amen. So there's that peace. Our Lord, if we were to cling to one message this day, the second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, as St. John Paul II gave to the church, or obviously he didn't give it, God did in his divine mercy. Jesus, when his side was opened up to the whole world, what would that message be? Other than peace be with you. I don't know about you, but this gospel is so beautiful, and when you read it, and you reflect on it, and you let the living word God speak to your heart, he's going to speak to all of our hearts in different ways. But I'm always curious, how did Jesus get through that unlocked door, or that locked door? Did he pick the lock? Did he just kind of like know how to twist it to where it opened? Did he go right through it? And sometimes we can think that this resurrected Lord, he just kind of floated around, he was transfigured, and, you know, rosy cheeks, and I don't know, kind of like the pictures we see, but when we really read the living word of God and let it speak to our heart, Mary Magdalene mistook him as a gardener. Maybe he looked like Simon the Cyrene from Africa. On the road to Emmaus, they just kind of looked at him and said, "Are you the only foreigner here that doesn't know what's happening?" And maybe our beloved Lord had his hand behind his back walking along, all peaceful, the Prince of Peace. And maybe he looked like someone from Asia. And how about on the Sea of Galilee? You remember the story when they're fishing and it's in the morning and it's hard to see? John recognized the voice and he cries out from the beach and he says, "My children, have you caught anything?" John says, "This is the Lord." He recognized the voice of the Lord. But it said when they came to the fire, they came to the fire and they saw him and he had fish and he had bread and everything. But it said they doubted. Yet nobody was willing to question who it was because they knew it was the Lord. And then how about at that moment after he had appeared and he had been with them for all those times, and then all of a sudden, like we're going to experience before the coming of the Holy Spirit, he's ascending into heaven, and they come to the Mount of Olives, and they're there in that familiar train. And it said they all came, and they met him there, and they worshiped, but they doubted. What did he look like? Who did he look like? And how did they recognize him? I could be wrong. I am no theologian. But I guarantee you that they recognized him through his glorious wounds, which are now his trophies, which we will profess in the creed, seated at the right hand of the Father, showing his Father and ours his trophies, what he did for us, his glorious wounds. Maybe those downcast disciples on the road of Emmaus who were downcast, maybe they finally looked up in the breaking of the bread, and what they saw were his wounds, his glorious wounds. I don't believe there was just this whole, I could be wrong, but this whole transfigured experience in the breaking of the bread. I think it was no different than the breaking of the bread that we experience here and every Sunday. And how do I experience Jesus? Because that's what it's all about. It's not about this devotion or this way of doing things, that or this formula or that formula, or I'm going to get this and I do this, and if I do this right, because I sinned and I'm always kind of a bad person, that somehow, some way, I'm going to what? Earn back his love? Yeah, right. Good luck. I'm going to earn back his love. His love is infinite, and his love equates to his mercy. And that's how we receive peace, when we let this God who is love, who is mercy incarnate, shower down his mercy on each one of us individually. That's where peace comes. Peace is not an absence of conflict. It's an embracing of God's will. And God's will for us is to follow him. In despite our brokenness, our wounds, our failings, our faults, all those apostles, even John himself, could have said, "We left him alone. We left him alone. We were not there. We didn't go to Caiaphas. We wimped out, John. You and I sat by the fire. I sat by the fire. You said it. You knew. We could have stood in for him. We didn't. We wimped out." And they're beating themselves up. And where they were in their locked up room. The upper room. And we can lock ourselves in our hearts, though everything looks good on the outside. And the peace doesn't enter on the inside. We don't open our hearts to his mercy and let him forgive us and forgive ourselves. If you're holding on to an inability to forgive yourself of a sin, this is the time to do it right now. And let the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ reign in your heart. He said it 3 times. He could have been pointing the finger. You weren't there, you weren't there, you weren't there. But our Lord's first words, he comes in and says, "Peace be with you. Calm down. Chill out. It's going to be okay. I love you. Come here, Thomas. Check it out. Put it in there. This is for you, buddy, and for all humanity." And Thomas gets a bad rap. Like he's like, not the believer. Thank you, Thomas. Saint Thomas, for what you did. Because you know what happens? We shift from the peace that our Lord offers to us and all humanity, and we shift into the second part of this gospel. Blessed are those who do not see and believe. please do yourself a favor. And I ask myself the same thing, to do myself a favor. Do yourself a favor. When you come into this church, no matter where you are, when our walk with our Lord, or you bring somebody in, please call yourself blessed, because you are. You are. You are beautifully and wonderfully made, all of you, and God loves you and me, all of us, so radically. And not just us, everybody in that city out there, every single person, even the person who's furthest away from our Lord, or doing the worst of sins, he wants to offer his mercy to everyone. And he calls us blessed. Why? Because you know what? You're here like me, and you're not watching the Masters. I gotta be honest, I was watching the Masters. I got on record. Don't tell me who wins. But you're not watching the Masters, because we are here to encounter the Master. The Master. I lived in Augusta for 2 years, and my cousin, who's a priest, went down there once and celebrated Mass at the Masters. They called me up. My brother works at the Masters, and he called me up. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, getting ready for Easter Vigil. Hey, can you get down here in like 5 hours? Because I got permission at the Masters. We can celebrate the Easter Vigil at the Masters. You can celebrate for all the pros. I said, brother, I can't get down there. My cousin whisked over there. And my cousin's homily was all about, y'all call this the Masters Week. We are in the middle of the Masters Week. It's called Holy Week, and it leads to Easter. It's all about the Master. What Master are we going to follow? What are we going to chase after in our life? And there's nothing wrong with it when people have certain skills. There's nothing wrong with it. But I tell you what, I will take this beloved Lord calling me blessed in the gift of my faith over any $11.5 million purse for winning a golf tournament. And if our faith is not jazzed up in that way, to where we let the things of the world in the kind of way of the world determine whether or not we are blessed, you young ones, open your ears up a little right now. Now, if you're going into middle school, you're in high school, don't let anything on social media or through the internet or through any other means tell you whether or not you are blessed. You are blessed. You are beloved. You are beautiful inside and out. You are courageous. You are strong. You are with the Master. And Jesus calls you blessed. Blessed because you come and hear the Word of God and you believe it's the Word of God and not just a book. We read the Catechism of the Catholic Church and it says very clearly, Christianity is not the religion of the book. It's the religion of a living person, Jesus Christ. Sometimes we can think us priests got things all figured out and we kind of know everything because we study theology. It don't work that way. It don't work that way. We have to experience Jesus Christ in our life and in our priesthood, in our vocation, just like in the married vocation, just like in single vocation. We have to experience it. And I experienced it extremely powerful in the example of my best friend, who I miss terribly, who, get ready for it, St. Gabriel's, because every Divine Mercy Sunday, I'm going to speak about him. And his name is Father James Brooks. And he's a saint in heaven. And this friend of mine suffered 2+ years of pancreatic cancer. He was 10 times smarter than me, knew 5 different languages, beloved by his parish, phenomenal priest. And he gets pancreatic cancer. And when he was in the final moments of his life, someone told me this story, the person who went out to eat with him, the final weeks, he went out to eat with this gentleman because he was just that type of guy, the type of guy that always say thank you, the type of guy that wouldn't think about himself, so much so that a priest friend of mine told me, why does something like this happen to a priest, this awesome, this good, this great of a guy? And he said very clearly, my buddy said, he said, you know what happens to guys like that? So guys like us get our act together. And we live out our vocation with a little more fire. So Father James goes out to eat with this person. He didn't go out to eat because he wanted to eat that food. He went out to eat because someone invited him. And he went and he enjoyed the taste of it. But he paid dearly for having eaten that food afterwards. but he wanted to accompany one of his parishioners. And any of you who've dealt with people with terminal illnesses or suffering, it can be extremely difficult because you'd love to give yourself to everybody and talk to everybody, but you can't. You can't because it just wears you out. So he's sitting there at the table with this one gentleman, and the gentleman asks him and says, "Father James, you know the parish loves you. What would you like me to tell the parishioners? What can I tell them?" And he took a sip of water, put the water down, and he said, "Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real." He just picked up the water, continued to drink. That's all he said. Is Jesus real to me? Is Jesus real to me, or is it just some image that I see that I got up on the wall? Or is Jesus so real to me? He is my best friend for time and eternity, that I know walks with me, that loves me, that accompanies me, that pours out his mercy on me, that forgives me. This Jesus is real, and he's got a heart like ours, feet like ours, eyes like ours, ears like ours, hands like ours, pierced. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he calls you and me blessed. You're blessed because you listen to his living word. You are blessed because you recognize him in the breaking of the bread. And if your faith is weak on that, take the example of the Father who said about his Son, "I believe, but help my unbelief. Increase my Eucharistic life, my love in you." If you're locked up in the upper room of your heart and you fear the sacrament of reconciliation, you fear that maybe what Father Mike or myself or any other priest may think about you, I'll tell you what we'll say to you. You're blessed because you crack that confessional door, you come in and you open your heart to the mercy of God, and what you open your heart to belongs to God and him alone, and he showers down his grace on you because he loves you and you're blessed. So on this day, he brings his peace and he brings his blessing. But there's one more thing he asks of us, you and me. He doesn't want us sitting around here. He doesn't want just sitting here all night. He tells us to go. That's why the end of the Mass is go in peace. He wants us to go in his peace, bring his peace, bring his joy, bring his mercy out to our world, to our homes, to our parish, to our schools, to our places of work, to our community. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are witnesses to these things. Not a book. Not statues of saints. Not churches in parts of the world that are turning into museums and monuments because we've lost sight of who this Jesus is, that he is real, and we have a mission, and our mission is to go out and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, take it to the four corners of the world, and to profess it with confidence, and if need be, with our lives. With our lives. Because this Jesus, who many in the world say doesn't even exist, is real. And this Jesus, who many may choose not to accept his mercy, wants to pour out his mercy on the whole world. This Jesus, through you and through me, wants to say to everyone, peace be with you.